And this morning, I'm really going to have you, all of you, one way or another, do things with me. Okay, we were teacher today. That's us, right? The teacher was God. And we had a Christmas lesson, kind of a happening. The sign on the door said, as we came in, "You have nothing to say." Well, you like that? You understand that? You have nothing to say. Okay, come in. So we came in and we sat silent, like this, in a circle. It's hard for three to make a circle. We'll do it anyway. We'll add you to each other. Okay. Do it rather quickly, and it could be a pretend circle. Make it a triangular circle. Okay, we sat quietly in a circle. Blind. Go ahead, cover your eyes. Blind. Now, by the way, this is a Christmas lesson. I may have to go back over it very quickly, so let me do it all very quickly. Again, what was the first thing? We came to the door, and the door said what? "You have nothing to say." Okay? So we came in, we sat silently, in a circle, and blindly. Okay? Stay blindly. Each made a wish. The Christmas lesson. You have a wish? Make a wish. And the leader said, you want to be the leader, okay? Just keep mindful. It doesn't say the leader was any different than the other. The leader said, "In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Okay, you can stay. You can become unblindfolded. Smell perfume. I'll pass it to you. Go ahead. I could just spray it. You smell it? Perfume. This is a Christmas lesson. And then it said that we tied our blindfold into knots. Go ahead. And throw them into a box. Here's a box. Mark X. And shouted, "The Lord be with you." Let me hear you.
"The Lord be with you."
I shouted it.
"The Lord be with you."
That's it. Not so loud. The other classes are going to use well, this is, you know, luckily this didn't really happen. Okay, and then we scan something in the newspaper. Scan. That's scanning. You haven't even got the newspaper open. Okay, we scan something in the newspaper. We winked at someone three times. Not only my wife. That's it. Three times. You get a three? Once more. You get three? Okay. You wink at someone three times. And now pretend running. Okay? You know, stand and pretend running. Stay where you are, but run. Okay, and you're the leader and say, "Stop." Okay. Keep running. Shot. Atta girl. Find a partner. And stare at this person. Okay, saying the Apostles' Creed to the person. Go ahead. "I believe." Tell her. "I believe in God the Father." Say the second article. "I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord." Look at that. That's the middle of the Apostles' Creed. Here's some water. You can stop. Dip your hand in the water. Put some on each other's head. And whisper into each other's ear. You started. We whispered the Lord's Prayer into someone's ear. And we played post office sitting in a circle again. Okay? With the Lord's Prayer. Start. Just start. All right, that's enough. Turn our chairs back to back. And saying, now whose back are you two? Her back, this is her back. This is her back, this is her side. That's right. Okay, back to back. And we sang, "I love to tell the story." I love to tell the story. Off key. Sing it off key. No, no, you do sing it. You should sing it off key. All right, let's go. I love it. No, let's go. Go ahead. Blow up a balloon. Each of you, blow up a balloon. Until it pops. Hard. Blow it. Blow it. Let me hear it. Let me hear the pop. That's good. And now applaud. That's a lot of other classes, and already the superintendent is coming, you know. No, that's not the story. Kneel in a circle. Pass around a loaf of bread. Each eat a piece. And while your mouth is full of bread, sing Silent Night. And shoot captain. Plug one ear, shut one ear, and the leader will read Luke 2, the story of Christmas. Okay? When she's done reading it, applaud. Give it more of a hand. And while you're applauding, start the song Joy to the World. Okay, if it's done with a song, applaud some more. Leave quietly. Leave quietly this way. That's right. And all the other classes stare at him. As though something had happened. That was extraordinary. Thank you. Come back. If you did that, would you remember it? You will remember this. Don't you get bored doing things that you don't remember? Yes. And don't you get bored doing things that you have done before, again and again, in the same old way, and you don't remember if it's the 81st or the 89th time that you've done it? Had you ever done these things before? Have you ever blown a balloon? Applauded? Started saying no. Have you ever shot a cap gun? Yeah, all these things you've done. But what's the different thing? What's the different thing? You didn't do it that way. And really, I think that creativity is very often to do the old things a different way. Because there aren't so very many things that you'll do that you haven't done. In fact, by now, most of us are so inhibited that we no longer do the things that we did when we were 5, 4, 3, 6. It would be hard, it would really be hard for you to sing a reptile book, wouldn't it? It would be hard for you to sing a reptile book. But I would imagine that there was a day when you did things like singing a reptile book. Oh yes, you sang things and you said prayers that were beyond print, and today I'm sure that if a printing press could get a hold of it, the book editor could recapture some of those things that you have not only thrown away, but you've lost, but you can recapture them as you recaptured them here. Do these things have anything to do with Christmas? Let's recap. What was the first thing? You have nothing to say. Is Christmas like that? What is Christmas?
Joy.
Joy? Okay. But we're getting a whole sequence of things here. Christmas, what does it mean? You have nothing to say. It's a gift. You know, you don't come and make it. It comes and speaks. And then what do you do? What was the next thing? What? You form a circle. What is a circle? Again. Now, maybe I shouldn't say what I, you know, what I'm, it could be a lot of it. It could be holding hands, it could be a fellowship, it could be a game. I think if I added to it, I would say that we will, the circle will go round and round and round. Have you ever seen the old-fashioned pictures where people join hands and go around a Christmas tree? Christmas is round, not square. Christmas is rounder than it is triangular. Christmas has in it loud sounds, does it not? Does it have a quad? Hear yourself under the tree, opening present after present, screaming, huh? And then mother and father time it. They don't open it once because they can't stand five screams at once, so that they actually plan the opening. Not, you know, not because they want it to last longer, but the volume of it. They're scheduling and programming the volume of the sound. Yeah. This Christmas is loud. Christmas is silent. Christmas is having nothing to say. Christmas is like blowing up a balloon. When did you blow up the balloons, Kevin? When you were how old? Did you like it? Yeah. And then, you know, if they had helium, you could sail them. That would be, you could add this, you know, take your balloons and run outside the parish hall and let them fly. All over the room. In the middle of the class, the less. All right, these are. I want you to think about old things in a new way. You wouldn't mind coming up here now that I've asked you, would you? What did you do with creation? This is all a rehearsal for back home anyway. Okay. This would probably be easier if you wanted to stand right up here. And then just stand facing the other wall. Much more comfortable. But put your legs far apart. That's right. Bend down all the way. And would you look at these people back there? Now, let me ask you, did you notice what the girls were doing? Yeah. What were they doing?
Well,
waving at you, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Weren't they? Had they waved at you this morning before?
No.
Had they laughed at you until this morning?
Yes.
I can tell that. Okay, you might say that are they upside down?
Yeah.
Now you turn around and laugh at them because they were upside down. Have you ever seen children do this? Real little children look at the world upside down. You know, read a book upside down from beginning to end, or from end to beginning. Right? They read it from end to beginning. This is a little bit. And you see, you just kind of, I'm just talking what I'm thinking. I'm just talking that is what a child does, and that's like looking at a book upside down. When you look at a book upside down, you don't look at it from beginning to end, but what? End to beginning. You know, you write a few of those things down, and if they're strange enough, they'll call it poetry. And if it rhymes and has a rhythm, you can, you know, do a song, you know, you can say a song, give the song a touch from end to beginning. Already know I'm not going to have a song. I can see it coming. Not from the beginning, not from everlasting to everlasting to everlasting, not from Alpha to the Omega, but from the Omega to the Alpha. But he's an Old Testament man, and maybe he won't do it that way. And you know, you can never make someone else do it your way. Creativity, really, creative imagination is really quite wonderful because it doesn't make someone think your way. It gives you a chance to hook on, and then they take it from there. My little boy yesterday, the same one who sings songs, reptile books, works with clay. You know that it isn't unusual for a 10-year-old to work with clay, but it's unusual for someone 42 who has never worked with clay to work with clay. I did with mud when I was a boy. And I made mud pies. I remember that feeling, and it was great. I could taste them. They were marvelous. I think I did eat them, as I recall. But now, what do I do with clay? And I walked down here with him, and I said to Chris, what do I say to the clay? And this was not an unusual question for this boy to hear, maybe because I've said these kinds of things. I said, how shall I work with it? Will it say something to me? And he said, no, it won't say anything to you. I said, well, where will I get my idea? What to do with it? And he said, well, you'll have to do what I did. And I said, what did you do? I looked at all the others, and then I got an idea. And then I did my own. It's like a wave. It's like conception. It's like love. It's like meeting. It's like getting together. It's like incarnation. These are all synonyms I'm naming now, I think the teachers in school might say, or at least they're related to the word, or when he said, I get an idea from someone else, and then I made my own. Well, that's why I think creative people are always getting, hearing, listening. They're receiving. You want to write, then listen. If you want to say something, hear something. And out of everything that you hear, hear something. And kind of like put a circle around it. I put circles around things. Maybe you underline it. Maybe some of you say, no, I can't. What do you do? You cut them out and store them in your imagination? I mean, what do you do with a new thing? Yeah. I enjoyed working with someone very much in the last few months, an artist. Who did the artwork at the Miami Luther League Convention for the American Lutheran Church, named Bob Aldrin. And Bob Aldrin is going to do a course for us, for you, and it's going to be posters. Now, the first time I met Bob Aldrin is when he was working with carpenters to take down his enormous oil paintings, which had been locked in huge frames down in Miami. And I was impressed by this man because the paintings were so large. They were all framed. There was space just right. And now I was sitting with the same man, and we were talking about how can you take a painting? How can this Bob Aldrin now make a poster? Yeah, this is so great for me, for a guy who was always traveling like with carpenters. I don't mean Jesus the carpenter. I mean with a whole set of carpenters so that they could put it up on a wall so that the people could enjoy it. Now we were talking with a man, the same man, about how can you paint a poster. Oh, I thought, well, you know, will he go with this? Well, then he called me one day, and he had not only gone with the idea, but this man was so alive that he said, I don't know her, but you'll go with my new idea. And that tickled me, because here was a guy who thought that he could outgo me, and I thought I could outgo him. And that's part of the joy of creativity, is that you go beyond each other, and you see how far the other person will go with this idea. You stretch and you imagine. He said, I had just thought of a poster, but he said, Herb, it'll be a floor poster. I like that. Here's a guy who ran around with carpenters, I thought, who nailing things on the wall, and now he was talking to me about a floor poster. And the class was sitting around. Okay. So I said to myself, he's one up on me now, it's my turn. And I said, can you make it round? From the inside out, so that everybody around it can see it at once. And now it's his turn. I haven't heard from him since. But I will. You know, you don't give up. Man doesn't give up. Well, I think part of the thing that God created us for is purpose, and that is not to give up. Not to want to give up life, and not even want to give up in death. And he's given us the promise of life, and given us the promise of life everlasting. Not to want to give up. And not to want to give up with anything, even old Bible stories. You know, this old story about old Sarah was like new today with the word laughter. Let me hear you laugh. Here. What a name for a kid. Huh? What a name for a kid. Let me hear it again. Can you imagine Sarah going to the door? It's supper time. Sarah goes to the door and she does what? Let me hear it. Here comes the kid. It's really very funny, you know? Yeah. And that's kind of what Norm does to me. You know, he takes me into this thing called, you know, an old Bible story. Oh, ho, ho, you know. I know that, you know, the old Sarah story. Oh, you know, he gave it back again. And now it's my turn. So now what, while he was talking this morning, I said to myself, if we could laugh the word laughter, we get some of the feeling of just, you know, not a joy. See, I know what my name means, but I have never done it deliberately. My name means, and my mother told me what my name meant, my name would be as though I would be a leader for you. And I don't know if this is the only way for a leader to lead, but let's suppose we had a follow the leader, and I was the leader, and we go walking around this tent 10 times, and I'd say that's my name. That's not the only way to, but it's a way to join in and get some of the other feeling of that word. And I remember too that I had thought and read about this word laughter, and I said to myself, well, Norm, I'm glad I heard you say that because you're an Old Testament professor and I'm not, but I did a book called In a Promise, which is coming out this week or next week, but it was bound for a meeting we had in Canada, and I brought it along. Here's an old stove. This wasn't just set there by the photographer, you know, so he could take a picture in Montana of a deserted stove. You know, photographers don't carry around old stoves like this, so they can put one photo. This had a house around it, had a kitchen floor under it, and had a woman standing beside it. And I looked at this and I thought, this is a picture of Sarah. And, you know, Abraham, who was always going. And so I started this one saying, Sarah left all behind and went with her husband Abraham. I could say, you know, and she went by faith and couldn't take her stove with her. You don't have to say everything, because you know the reader comes with imagination too, and you can say too much. So you have to always write or think creatively. If you want to write it, if you want to say it, you have to leave spaces. I think the comedians, the timing that you see a comedian have, you can almost see it, is that he knows when to stop for the people to enter. This thing that isn't a monologue at all, but a what? Dialogue. All right, so, you know, I won't say everything. Maybe I've said too much. And part of creative thinking is, in writing, I think, is to write and then to strike out, which you want the other person to bring in. Sarah left all behind, with her husband Abraham. who went by faith. Sarah left home, went over the hill. Happened to be a hill in this picture. And she kind of went out of sight. And because that's where Abraham went. He was always going out of sight. Went over the hill to the other end of the earth. I think to go here was with Abraham was to go farther than to hold him. And the part of it to get to hold him. There was no use crying over moving what could not be moved. Abraham was made for frontiers. I thought of Kennedy. You know, I didn't write like Kennedy. You know, but you throw in very, very meaningful words that have contemporary. His heart was on the horizon. You know, he said, yeah, two H's, that's right. And it doesn't just happen because you can think about things like and you hear this. Children say it, waitresses say it, a lot of very so-called, I won't say that waitresses are uneducated people, but people who aren't usually PhDs say some very, very naive and poetic things that have rhythm and rhyme, meaning. A writer listens. Sarah ministered to her husband, and she served food to angels. She left father and mother and followed the faith of the spirit of man. She went west, east, north, and south. All she left did rust in her youth, that she might follow faith and bear a son in her old age. She named him Laughter. Here. She named him Laughter. Isaac was her consolation prize. It took a glad heart to follow so much and to leave so much behind. Faith forsakes, faith follows, faith. Faith life. The next one is about her son, Isaac, who made a very dry land laugh, because he was a well digger. He was a well digger. And when everything had sprung its leak in Israel and all of the wells were dry, the people were glad to have an Isaac to rock. He lived his name. I'm going to have you join me in another kind of thing, which this whole thing, the first time I read it to blind children. And it's something to read poetry to the blind, because, and it's really something that a blind child will say, I can see. And that's what happened, not in the poem I'm going to read now, but did happen in one of the poems, I can see him. It was when it was thunder, he said he could see that thunder. I'm looking, yes, here. And every time I do this, I want you to say the one word or the two words that I just said. Okay? Shh. Quiet. The earth is silent, sleeping. The earth, the sea, the ground, the roots, the worm. I'm going to start the poem over, but you know, this is the kind of, you know, you could, you have to get close to this kind of stuff to understand. So you must have been close to the earth to understand this poem. And you've all been there, although you don't own that book. Once more. Quiet. The earth is silent, sleeping. The earth, the seed, the ground, the roots, the worms are silent. Quiet, sleeping. The earth, the silent earth, is waking from her sleep. A long, deep sleep.
Sleep.
Hear the hidden worms. The deep, deep roots are yawning.
Yawning.
Go ahead.
Yawning.
Hear the hidden worms and salamanders yawning, spring is dawning. Hear the winter, go, 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 the worms stir down below, and seed begins to grow, 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 grow. The ground is rising from its sleep. Wake up!
Wake up!
Gardens, wake up!
Wake up!
Pussy willows,
wake up!
Tulips,
wake up!
Mistletoe, it is time to grow,
grow!
God is great, God is good, and I thank him that I know every spring seed starts to grow,
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 grow. No, that's good. Poetry, creative imagination really doesn't really want to be alone, but I think it wants to be with. And when I write at like 2 o'clock in the morning, it's not that I want to be alone, but I want to be with. It's that you don't always know with whom, it's with whomever. And that's what imagination is too, that we imagine. There's a fellowship in meditation. There's a fellowship in meditation. You can join the whole human race in meditation. You can get to holding them back in a minute in meditation. You can think of and you can be with all who ever were, all who are, and will ever be in a minute. And there'll be no mileage. Yeah. Where do you see this? Well, you see it. You have to put a circle around what you see. We were in it wasn't even a very interesting place to be. It was a deserted depot when not very many were there. You wished you were there. See the hard, you know, train stations early in the morning. It's nothing like that. Nothing like that. And then I saw it. And I said to myself, don't let that get away. But I had to put a circle around it, so I had to write it down. I always write down, because you have to remember what you see, what you hear. The two were alone, a boy and a girl. How about that? I hate to spoil it, but it's coming. I don't know if it's spoiled at all. No. You don't give all your secrets away. And I really don't know. Maybe I give it away too quickly. But the two were alone, a boy and a girl. Ordinarily, you see, you wouldn't know this was in the depot. Hunting birds in the evergreen. Stuffed birds in the evergreen. By the waterfall, the tiny plastic waterfall by the evergreen in the train depot. A plastic turquoise waterfall and stuffed birds. The water was real, the evergreen was real, the children were real, and so was the hunt real for the birds. A boy and a girl hunting birds in the depot before sun, sneaking up on the birds, on their tiptoes, looking, peeking. Wouldn't it be great if we had little children doing a ballet or doing a chorus, doing all of this thing now? For this really did happen. And hardly anybody there saw it. They were busy buying tickets or sleeping. I'll go back a bit. A boy and a girl hunting birds in the depot before sunrise, sneaking up on the birds on their tiptoes, looking, peeking, looking long into the branches and glancing quickly, counting claw birds, smiling, dancing, whirling, counting, hunting. They never saw the crowds milling to the ticket windows. They marveled at the plastic waterfall, I thought, ugh, a plastic waterfall. I mean, they didn't care whether it was plastic or that it was turquoise. It was a waterfall. And they marveled at the plastic waterfall and the plastic holly playing hide and seek with flock birds and with each other. The depot was the stage, the turquoise waterfall, the staging, and they were alive, flitting, unconsciously darting, twittering, and startled. They stood startled in their tracks like frozen birds, like stuffed birds, like the cloth birds, startled by the loud running of two children, two other children, plundering the waterfall, and my mother screaming. She didn't know what I was writing. Her words, get out, don't run, quiet, shut up. It rifled through the depot like a hunting season on birds. And the two on tiptoe stood on their flat feet, frightened for a while, startled by a sudden ravaging of the turquoise falls and by the raping of the evergreens. They were afraid as live birds, frightened by the slamming of the door, you know, the kitchen door. They froze. They walked away and watched from a distance until the plunderers moved on with Mom to the gum machine to pillage another sacred place in the depot. They waited. They returned. The two on tiptoe peeking and skipping, a lot, skipping a circle around the tree and staring at the plastic green holly and pointing at the red birds and counting cotton birds, unconscious of the echo of yonder gum machine. No, where'd you get these? Get it, it was there. Said to see it. And it was there. I thought it was worth remembering. I really would like to be a photographer, and then I would have had to shoot a whole roll of film to get that, you know. So you can't shoot a whole roll of film to get that. And it's really a montage. It's really a whole sequence of things that don't all necessarily go this way, but sometimes they just go. Try writing from the inside of a page out sometimes. Don't always stay on the lines or use the whole page. Forget about margins and complete sentences and throw away punctuation marks sometimes because you don't think punctuation marks, you don't think sentences, you don't think paragraphs, you think. Think about how you think. And then write that. Well, this is kind of how it is, and I think I'll get another one here that I this one. Can you imagine children doing? Can you imagine children? I think a lot of reasons we don't have celebration in the morning is that we don't go to bed celebrating. And I blame morning on the night before. You know what I mean? No, you don't know what I mean. Not what I'm thinking. But you could say that part of the way we grow up, perhaps, is how it was we were put to bed. Okay, this is dedicated to all mothers and fathers and sons and daughters, including most of us. Probably all of us. And again, I wish there were a way to join. You can join. You girls were very good, and you girls could be. You each get 2 miles. You can carry 3, fine. I don't like these things to stop here. In fact, when what I have written becomes a book, it dies a little to me because that's right. And you can just stay at the bottom if you want to write. Okay. Once you girls be beginning to play with boxes, only you don't. Imagine these are tinker toys, okay? And you're making something.
pile them up on top of each other. And
we'll watch you with your finger. No. That happens to paper toys too. Okay. And you want to just hold that one like that. Just hold it like that. And why don't you hold this one like this? And
I'm going to whisper something to them, okay?
Got to see where it is. Okay. Bedtime. It's a little dialogue because actually when I write, when I think, I have a little argument going inside my head all the time. I don't know how you think, whether you're just, you know, you one person or whether you quarrel a little. And this little quarrel inside is kind of what I, you know what I mean? Sure, you can do it in 3 or 4 columns, you can do 8 or 9, how many you are, and sometimes you can't get them all on white sheet paper. Okay. Ready? Stage. Hold it. Here we go. It's bedtime. The best time. The worst time. Bedtime. Time to take down the top, the tinker toy top. Time to take apart the merry-go-round before it was done. Done being put together and being whirled and spun. It was a long day on the merry-go-round, a long day of expectation. And now it's time for bed. The best time, the worst time, the time to put the toy in. And it all fell apart. Now it was 9, it all fell apart. For the sake of the hour of bedtime, bedtime. And the hope of the merry-go-round ended. The day ended. It was dark, it was time to stop. Time to clean up, time to tear down, time to clean up, tear apart, time to clean up, to bring to an end, to end what was not done, to put the project away into a box. You can't leave that. To lay the box on a pot and to shut the lid and to take down the beams and to unfold the engine and to topple the antenna towers and to crush the cement wall, to heap the blocks into a pile, a neat pile of blocks, to collapse the Colosseum, the plan for bleachers, to stop, put it away, start over and over and over and over, to stop, bedtime, bedtime, stopping time, a time to go to bed, tear down, put away, clean up, go to bed, good night, goodbye, all right. Just put together. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord power to keep. You know, we say it's hard to celebrate in the morning. Oh, I need that cup of coffee. And I tell you, you've got to tear down everything at night. No wonder it's so hard to celebrate in the morning. Put everything together in boxes and on the neat piles. I thought of some of these information classes, you know, these classes where we learn by not joining. We've joined a little bit today, but we haven't joined nearly enough. She'd read the invitation, information class. She'd come to learn. She had just come from work. He had invited her. It was her first year teaching ballet down there. That's where they'd met. She had seen him every night. He had a strong body. His shoulders were strong. His feet were swift. He was a good partner. this was his class. He said 50 usually came, 50 to the information class in the church. Her classes down there were for seven, not for one table here. She had never seen him stand so still. For 1 hour they sat and he stood. 1 hour, 49 sat in 49 chairs. Well, 50 sat now. She crossed her legs on the floor. She sat cross-legged. No one noticed. Well, she had learned to sit that way. Her legs were like rubber, some said. She sat cross-legged. The floor was her playground. It was like grass every morning from 8 until 7 at night. The floor was like a meadow, like a runway, like a cloud, like a trampoline. Like velvet, like sponge, and her muscles turned the floor into a playroom. Her seven always romped on the floor with her, and with splits and toe stands and cartwheels, there was no part of them that did not move. The wood seemed to move. The whole floor seemed to flex, and it was like a playground. It was like the walls of a billiard ball, a billiard table. It was to their toes and to their body as air to the wings of a seagull. It held their motions. And here she sat for 50 minutes. She sat. 98 feet, she counted. 98 feet, quiet. A whole lot of feet on the floor, just flat, flat feet. They sat and their feet were flat. Their heads were quiet. She had never seen him stand so long. It was as though he had frozen. And all day his feet followed the words. All day from 8 until 7, the floor held all his emotions and interpretations. And his strong arms moved as a page holds words. And here he was straight, still. For 50 minutes he spoke. And his body did not move. She sat cross-legged and she did not move, and 98 feet were flat and did not move. I think I'll reread those lines and have you say, did not move, and his body did not move, and she sat cross-legged and
did not move,
and 98 feet were flat and
did not move.
She worked and danced. She came again. She danced the words that he had agreed that she could do it. The words moved, her toes and her torso. She left. He left the lecture stand that second night. As his words had shaped his face, so now his words became flesh and dwelt among them. And the sign now says, chairs for sale, 49 chairs. And it doesn't say information class. It says church ballet. I mean, could you actually ballet a lecture on on love? Or is it only words that can say? You know, I wonder how it feels to live one way, you know, so many hours a day, and then to sit, be. To take it that one way. I hope next week here, maybe we won't be able to do it, but I hope that next week here we can make some, that we can celebrate some of the things that are happening out there. You know, this wonderful thing that Terry Saturn made, you know, when he made it, he had this big shield over his face. He looked like some knight out of the Middle Ages, I'm sure. This big torch burning. Now, I want you to imagine that it's a worship service and that Terry's right here and that he's working, I mean actually working, and we're worshiping, and that somehow we walk away with the idea that our work and our worship are connected, and not only because they both begin together, that's the beginning, but they're connected, and while Terry is working, we're worshiping that we're working with people. And can you imagine that as an acolyte, he takes that Bunsen burner and he hits the camera. Wouldn't that be marvelous? I might bring him down a little farther than ordinary. But wouldn't that be something if you could take that Bunsen burner or whatever they call it, you know, and you could light and you could work in the altar space. And then, so that we wouldn't be blinded, we'd probably have a wall around here, kind of like an altar rail, and it wouldn't be an altar rail, it would be a protection guard. And then we could just write on all kinds of words that had to do with work and worship. And then we could take this beautiful stole, we could just hang it over that wall, and somehow get the impression that Terry Saturn was working where? At his altar. Up there. Have you seen his altar up there at the machine shed? That's it. You never recognize it as an altar. But you put a candle on it, you put a stole over it, and you brought it in here, you know it was an altar. Or if we went up there and had our Sunday worship service, we know that worship and work belong together. I'm doing this because you're going back home, and I heard some of you last night talk about the meaninglessness of worship. In your imagination, in your creative ability, you can make your pews that are straight. You can make them round. Get a hold of that end. And you get a hold of that end. In your imagination, in that font that doesn't have water because there's no baptism today, you can just hear a waterfall. And you say, no water? Sure. Man, there's a lot of water there. You know, with your imagination, you can reconstruct your entire worship service, so you can use the old words and you can have grammar thoughts. And when the people are saying hallelujah three times, you are applauding three times. Part that gives a theme, you can just move you, this is too much, they'll see you behind you. You could just move your toes, not too much, because if you were moving, they might think that you were restless. But you could just move your toes a little bit, just to a beat, and then you could get the feeling that the intro really used to be walk while they talk, and they walk in, and they talk while they were walking, with a walking talking. It was really, and when they had walked what they had taught, they had experienced a theme from the bottom of their soul to the top of their tongue. So they had joined, they had rhythm. Now you don't have to, the pastor doesn't have to tell you to do all these things, because you can do so much in your imagination. We have little time for questions and answers. I don't know if that clock is right. Is it right?
Uh-huh.
Yes. All right. Do you have anything you want to ask me, anything I can say? Because I know that many of you are leaving. I'm staying, and I wish I could do more with some of you. Yes.
Well, since I've been here, it seems like it's been coming throughout that we should give expression to our emotions and do that circumstantially. And it seems to me that in years past, I grew up on the stage of the children. This was the height of criticism. We criticized the Pentecostals and the preacher people because they did that. They clapped their hands and they did that, which was easy and natural. And now it seems like we're moving into the area that we have been taught was wrong and we grew up.
What did we call that era in which we grew up? Pardon?
Depression.
Pardon?
Depression.
Depression? Yes, it might help me that we grew up in great friends. wondering if it's perfect.
No, I was thinking it is in practice, and it is what it is. I was an American, I don't want to be here or something else. But it was protection, I expect on
But many times in the Depression, it's like Sam Levinson said. He said, we didn't have any money, but we were poor. In the Depression, nobody had anything, so you didn't you're poverty stricken.
I can only recall playing with John. I can't recall very many new things that I had. So what Terry is doing is like old times to me, putting together junk and saying, that's my wagon. So I don't know, sometimes the thing that we think was against us is the very thing that's for us. And you know, and maybe, you know, some say, well, when I was a pietist or when I had to conform, because of conservative kind of upbringing, that this was against me. Well, maybe this is the Advent time. That was the Advent time, and now is the Christmas time. Now is the birth. And that was a long waiting period, and some of us have waited very long for Christmas. You know, Christmas comes quickly. It doesn't last too long, it seems. Advent is 4 weeks, Christmas is a day. Oh, I know, we can argue Merry Christmas every day. I know that one too. But you know what I mean. Sometimes it takes a waiting while.
You spoke about this feeling, the emotion, the expression of emotion. But if we would do this in a certain frame of worship and so on, it would be considered inappropriate. And I mean, this is something that now perhaps in some kind of service, if it's a very joyous service, to be sad would be inappropriate. But now, where do our actions go in a place like this? Because we have this in Ecclesiastes, a time to weep and a time to mourn, and so on. There is a time for different things. And if we do these things outside of that time, it's considered inappropriate.
Well, we can do it the other way around. You know, we can say that wherever we walk, we worship. You know, and where, so that actually it doesn't all have to be that our hang-up is not, a generation hang-up is rather normal anyway. I think there is a difference between ages, ought to be. You know, not only that, I mean, there is a difference between ages. Always has been, always will be. It's part of the way life is. But perhaps our hang-up too is that we think that this thing can be resolved if we can resolve that 1 hour on a Sunday morning. Well, that isn't where the only hang-up is. I think you girls now will do something that you haven't perhaps done a lot before. You will make connections, you will be free. We won't have to change that first part of the hymnal very much for you to be freer. You'll be freer out there where you do most of your living anyway as a Christian, to interpret, to imagine, to connect, to relate, and to see all of life, the whole world, as God's hymn. You see, all of the world is God's workbook. Sylvia Ashton Warner, Morris, a woman, I think, a teacher of the Maori tribe, children, six-year-olds, in a book called Teach, book I love very much, says that actually her children have a vocabulary when they come. What she does is she spends a lot of time gathering vocabulary, and then from this vocabulary, she builds her readers. She doesn't buy in a lot of Run, Alice, Run stuff, because people, these children come, not with Alice and not with, you know, hopping, skipping rope. They have other things that are in their world. So she calls their world from them, and from this vocabulary list, she builds. Well, now, you have a vocabulary list, and I would say the same thing is true for us. Wherever we go, we have words that are like justification, like rebirth. And I will close because I won't, the custodian wants to come in. But let me just say, sometimes you have to maybe just say a thing, a new thing once, and it affects your whole life. You have to have that one breakthrough. That one Christmas gives you many more to come. One good Advent gives you many more Advents. one good waiting season that ripens, then gets repeated in many ways. The Negro boy in Chicago, when we said to this group, what's rebirth like? He said, rebirth? Rebirth is Louis Aparicio come back to the Chicago White Sox. You know, would you flunk him? That's not a catechism, that's nowhere. And the girl said, rebirth is a patch in the sideline. Rebirth, a girl said, is a bulldozer knocking down this building so we can have a recreation hall. So that you have a bunch of words out there and you have a few words in here. And if the words in here and all of the life out there become one and get related, you haven't got the communication problem in terms of liturgy, because the front part of the hymnal does not confine us as a worship teacher.
Yes, sir. There was one question. Most of our emphasis has been on joy, happy sounds, and so forth. But when one comes into a situation where Ecclesiastes is a time for joy and a time for sorrow, when a person who has who is in grief and sorrow comes into an atmosphere of joy, is sometimes seems macabre to them. In other words, where do others fit into the situation?
Well, what would you say?
In other words, I've had the experience where I've greeted a patient very cheerily and found out that their husband died the night before. Mm-hmm. And I suddenly thought I was projecting this had bothered me.
I remember once that I did it rather consciously, but I was in some trouble for a while. I congratulated a woman because her husband died. But I congratulated her upon the resurrection of her husband and that he had this promise now. And this was quite a thing, but I think it would have been quite a thing for her anyway. And that's maybe the thing that she was hung up on anyway, was that she now had to see that she had another gift and that God had been some meanie. So I celebrate, I use the word celebrating joyous word, but she was in mourning. You know, you can argue that she wasn't ready. We're never ready for the surprises. We're never ready for the surprises. That's why they're surprises. If you plan for the surprise, it will no longer be a surprise. And you take the risk. You take that chance.
And then the other danger in this area would be that we make this our hang-up of this joy, that we make this actually a new liturgy, a new straitjacket. That everybody has to come and be joyful. Why can't we come and be sad?
Was the scene of the Tinker Toy Tower very joyful?
No, I think.
Yeah. Was the scene of the two on tiptoe very joyful while the others were plundering the gum machine? You know, they had both. And maybe the Jewish people are right in their Passover, where they have salt water on the table and they also have greens. And at their Seder, at their Passover, the green stands for the joy of spring, you know, wow, it's green. Well, to bite into it and eat it and say, wow, I have a problem there. because, you know, parsley tastes like grass to me. But the green stands for, wow, it's spring, life. But the joy, it's a joy food. But also, right next to it, is a sad food. water and salt mixed. And they never eat one without the other. They just take the green and dip it and eat the two. Yeah, I still say but the symbolism, I like that better than a triangle, frankly, or some of the other symbolism, that this, you know, the dipping of the sorrow, the joy into the sorrow, that it's the two, it's the bubble. And perhaps the people who are talking about celebrating, are talking also about the other.
Well, I think that this has to be.
It has to be. Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure about the emphasis.
Yes. Closing story, promise. You can try it at home. I have a story in this book, World of You, which is called It's a New Song. Somewhere I have this book. It's probably right behind me. Yeah, here it is. Each one of these has a story behind it. This one called A New Song happened in Montana. I saw a woman sitting over in the side, and we were having a regular hootenanny. And I was a participant, although in a minor way. The hootenanny came after me. And then after the hootenanny, I was supposed to have a closing devotion. And just before, during the hootenanny, someone leaned over and said to me, "Do you know who she is?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Well, she's a mother who brought 5 or 6 boys and girls to this conference for the weekend. Her own son was struck by lightning just 10 days ago, and they buried him, and now she came with all the other boys, and he could not come along." And here was this hootenanny going, and here was this mother, and here was all this celebration, and she had just had the burial, and this was going through my mind. And I was to have an evening devotion. So what I did was, I did the salt water and the parsley bit. So we took this guitar in the case, and I had them lay it out. You know the expression to lay it out? Just had them lay it out. Put the guitar in, shut them in. Snapped it once in the name of the Father. Snapped it twice in the name of the Son. You know where they end that little snap, you often forget it. In the name of the Holy Spirit. And said amen. Put a cloth over it. Said the prayer we all have. It's like a night prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep, whether under 2 covers of cloth or under 6 feet of earth. It's nighttime. It's dark. Good night. Goodbye. Good Friday. Good night. And in the morning we got it, opened up, got it out, and the Easter song. It's a new day. Good morning. Good Easter. Resurrection. A new song. And all the time. Where was she thinking? Yeah. So it's the joy that always followed the sorrow. And sorrow that preceded the joy. The salt water was the night. And the wine was the lighter. Yeah. I've done that in many, many versions. Everything has a synonym. You know what that means? Yeah. Everything has a synonym. What we've done here now in this hour, you can't defeat, but you can find synonyms for things like it. And then you're not defeating, but you're doing what the little boy said. He said, "I get an idea from someone else, and then I have my own with them." Thanks for being with them. Thanks for being.